Hey everybody, welcome to the Morphin Grid. I'm Jake.
And I'm Josh.
And today we're doing a Q&A episode. You got some A's, we're gonna Q them.
That's backwards. We got the A's.
Nope, just when you think you got the A's, we changed the Q's. Yeah. You guys know what I meant. So, do you want to just jump right in?
We got anything? I guess so, unless you want to vamp about anything.
I do want to make one little correction to our theme songs ranking. I would like to change my number one to the Mystic Force theme song.
Okay.
Because I listened
to redoing the math, so that's an unofficial change.
Yes, but if we were to send him in again, I would definitely bump it up 6 or 7 places, because I actually like it, I guess. Something's
wrong
with me.
How many times did you listen to it?
Once or twice. For real. Okay. I don't have a tendency to listen to a song about 40 times in a row, but just once or twice.
That's fair, then. I'll allow it. I won't bring up Stockholm Syndrome this time.
Yeah. Look, Avril Lavigne's What the Hell is a very, very good song. I listened to it like 25 times in a row a couple of times. So what? We did get one email from Raymond. Remember we got that novel that Raymond sent us that I was like, yeah, we'll do that later.
This seems like a later time.
This seems like later. I think we should do that now. Oh, actually, we did get a couple emails that we can do now, too, besides just Raymond. So this is emails / Q&A.
Quinoa.
Quinoa. My second favorite KO35ian that is not Corone.
Tequila. Corone.
Because Corone, quinoa, Andros, tequila, everyone else ever, Zane.
Zane.
Andros would be at least second. I forgot about Andros when I was writing the first time. All right, so Raymond says, hey guys, so I didn't bring this up when I was on the show because of how spoilery it was and because we went long enough already. Oops. I mean, that's not your fault. We do that all the time. I mentioned having problems within space, and the biggest by far is how the Zordon plot played out. Hey, weird, that was my big problem within space.
Yeah, that's the big problem within space.
Now, I won't complain too much about how the Z-Wave was a deus ex machina, not about how they're still managed to be evil around for subsequent seasons. For the first, deus ex machina is pretty normal for Power Rangers and Super Sentai finales, and since this was written as the finale of all of Power Rangers, we can't really blame them for later decisions, but I wish it would have been executed better. My first complaint is probably the most nitpicky, but I hate that they forgot Zordon wasn't actually in the tube. I don't think that's nitpicky, actually, because that is the whole deal.
Yeah, the whole season one thing is I was trapped in a time warp by Rita while we were fighting, and I put her in a dumpster at the same time.
The second episode of Power Rangers is literally about Rita trying to trap everybody else in a time warp, too.
Yeah.
Like, specifically so that they will also be stuck like Zordon. So, I don't think that's too nitpicky. I know he was in the movie. He was in one in the movie, but come on. This one's super easy to get around to during the UAE attack on Eltar. I don't know. I'm not going to lie to you. I don't know what UAE means. I cannot decipher
UAU?
That. UAE?
UAE.
During the UAE attack.
I don't know.
Raymond, please tweet us. They find Zordon's tube and they use it to home in on whatever space/time dimension he's actually in. Then Rita, who casts a spell on him in the first place, casts a spell on him to pull him out, and they've got his actual body now. As a bonus, this gives Rita something to brag about at the dinner party since she'd been out of action for a whole season. Okay, so I guess that is when Zordon and Alpha went back.
Okay.
Because they're like, Eltar needs us. Here's Demetria. Woo! And then they flew away.
Ultimate all evil.
Yes.
Attack.
Ue, for short. That reminds me of wow.
Wow.
Oh man. My second complaint is more abstract. I wish the search for Zordon had been more of a through line for the entire season instead of hopping back between Earth and KO35. Gotta take that math test. The Rangers could go to different planets for clues. There's a bit of this in the lead up to the Delta Megazord, but that was pretty much it. Yeah, it was just like
because it started off the season as, like, this is their goal, and they came back to it a couple of times, like, we need to find Zordon, and then, like, Corone switched over, and Zordon didn't matter
anymore. Yeah, and they were like, that's more important, which I agree that it was, but...
But they forgot about it completely until Zordon is suddenly on the Dark Fortress.
Yeah, for no reason. Finally, I don't like the way the Z-Wave was activated, the questioners are on being in the tube aside. It just doesn't make sense that breaking him out would have such an effect. Instead, when Andros finds the Delta Megazord, there could have been instructions to seek out some MacGuffin and bring it to Zordon. The Rangers think this would help free him. But when Andros brings it to him, Astronom tells him the truth. When Zordon puts his energy in the device, it will create the Z-Wave at the cost of his own life. I feel like this gives the character much more depth because it means he had this as a contingency plan for some time and was trying to sacrifice. It also helps with the second problem outlined above. So yeah, if there would have been another thing that led to the Z-Wave instead of just like, pop the tube.
Right.
Pop that tube open, boy. Yeah, because that doesn't really make a ton of sense. I mean, it kind of does. Like, he's made of good energy, I guess. And when that breaks
now.
Out, well, now, yeah. And then when he breaks out, that just is unleashed throughout this one portion of the galaxy. Anywhere there's a Power Ranger, the Z-Waves fly to and erase all evil from those couple locations. I had to bang this out real quick on my lunch break, so sorry if it wasn't as well composed as it could have been. I hope this sparks some interesting discussion, though. May the power protect you, Raymond. Yeah, I think, it was the only thing I was confused on is UAE, but I mean that's the least important part. I definitely think that the Zordon plot was handled badly because there were two episodes back to back that were like satellite search and never stop searching, and one of them was for Zordon and the other was for Carone.
Yeah,
and then I guess that's when they decided that Carone was more important.
Well, it's like when they started making In Space, the theme was going to be, we got to save Zordon, we got to get Zordon back.
Yeah.
And then, like, halfway through, they changed their minds.
Yeah, and that happens, honestly, because they could have been like, hey, people are, depending on when in production it was, like, hey, people are really responding to Astronomer more. They don't seem to care about stuffy old head and tube.
I mean, we all know that they get started before, like,
it airs.
Before they watch everything, too.
Yeah, like, yes, for sure.
You know, if you go back and watch Tommy, he was a surprise to them.
Yeah. Episode 16 hadn't crossed their minds when they had done the first 15 episodes.
So they had to do like an emergency casting.
Yeah. They could have just skipped, like, and I guess they couldn't because then Tommy's kind of in the rest of that season, huh?
Yeah.
I don't know what they would have done. I don't know. The Green with Evil is like some of the best power ranging.
They couldn't have skipped the Green Ranger. Power Rangers wouldn't have made it if they skipped the Green Ranger.
No, definitely not. Maybe not skip it, but push it back a little bit. They could have grabbed some episodes from later and buffed up the, you know, as soon as you find out there's a seventh one, maybe you should watch the rest just in case.
Yeah.
You don't run into any other weird surprises. But thank you for the email, Raymond. Yeah, again, just like, I like Carone better than Zordon anyway, so I'm cool with that being the focus.
That's fair.
I do hate that he is in the tube now, though.
Yeah.
I'm not usually a stickler for continuity for these kinds of things. Like, it's a kid show. They got to run on the fly. Like, I get it. Come on.
When he's on the Dark Fortress, he doesn't even have the lava in his tube anymore.
Yeah, where'd that go? Who knows? It's really not important. So, next up is from Public Frenemy number one, Corbin. Corbin says, hey guys, so it's been a while, but I come bearing important news regarding quarries. So a little while back, we were like, how can there be a quarry in all these places? How can they go from a park to a quarry? So, attached is a Google Maps picture of my new neighborhood. That giant featureless gray spot south of the school in the park, a quarry. Below that is suburbs, and to the north is Boston.
Oh, okay.
So just south of Southie is a giant quarry. So when you point out how unrealistic it is that the Power Rangers find themselves going from park to quarry, that is literally possible to go from city to park to quarry and be a stone city to park to school and be a stone's throw away from a quarry. And then he did attach a picture, and there's just like, here's a school, here's some parks, and then literally a giant gray spot is quarry.
Okay.
So I guess you can just quarry wherever you want.
I think the problem with Angel Grove is maybe not so much the park to quarry ratio, but the park to quarry to mountains to desert to coastline.
Yeah, it is like an early alpha Minecraft level in that there are no rules just right out here.
Yeah.
And also, maybe it's just that they go to the quarry a little too often, and I gotta poke a little fun at that.
Yeah.
Because, like, I know on TV Tropes is called the Toei Quarry, because in Super Sentai, they also always go to the quarry, because it's easy to film at. It's, like, it's cool, there's lairs, no one else is there,
it's still, like, yeah, it's dynamic, because there's, like, height and lairs, and,
yeah.
Like, but it's also very open still.
Yeah, so you can, like, shoot stuff, you can do it during the day, and then you can get, like, the light, so you don't have to set up any lights or anything. Like, I get it, but, like, you guys go to a lot of quarries.
Yeah.
And it's weird they would put them right outside schools, even if they do in Boston, right south of Boston. So there's that.
Is Boston Angel Grove?
No, I think Los Angeles is Angel Grove.
I think you're probably right.
Boston, if the Power Rangers were all from Boston, that would be a much different show.
You're right.
Zoro would be like, I have chosen you to be Rangers. And Zach would be like, fucking what, kid? and then that was the whole show. That would just be more of that, but forever. Next up, we got... Did we already do this? I don't think we did this.
Picture Jason being like, aim for the Z. So I'm fucking aiming for the Z.
I'm aiming for the Z.
I've been aiming for the Z the whole time.
You aim for the Z. Don't make me come over there.
Boston's a strange place.
It is. But hey, guys, if Kim was a Southie, my love for her would be even more.
Like the only thing that could be more than that is if she was from Jersey.
Yeah. I don't know what it is about them Jersey girls, but they just make my heart go pitter-patter. Anyway, so I don't think we did this on the show, but we got another email from Benny, who has ranked all of the Turbo best worsts. So we have a definitive list. And now that we have two seasons to compare, he can introduce more numbers and graphs.
Oh, great.
Yes. So pretty good. So here. Oh, man. So here's like the preface to this. Now that we have two seasons to compare, I can introduce more numbers. I attempted to define your feelings of each episode into a rating. Bad, -1, -0, good, +1, great, +2. My default was good, and sometimes it was hard to tell if something should be neutral instead, but I leaned toward the positive. Always a solid choice. That is how we try to do things around here, is we try to lean towards the positive.
Yeah.
That said, with 50 episodes of Zio ended with 36 points, while Turbo's 45 episodes only got 13. Yee. Just because neutrals are zeros, so, right. You know. You guys also throw a lot of MVPs to articles of clothing, especially hats. Look, I know what I'm about, son. Three objects in Zio, and one was an alpha hat. Five objects in Turbo, and one was an alpha hat. Also, two of your best this season were thrown out since they weren't really best, but sarcastic responses or not the worst. Yeah, Turbo had a couple not the worst. To remind listeners, I recorded Jake, Josh, and their guests, and then there's a number. Oh, boy. This is intense. And their guests, best, worst, and MVPs into a database and assigned them point values. Best is +1. Worst is -1. And MVP is +2. Each Ranger's total score is calculated. And we have the ranking of Turbo's Power Rangers. Lots of ties this season. Are you ready?
Yes.
With a sum total of 0 points comes the Phantom Ranger.
Okay.
Where he belongs. Dead last. And also just dead in general. At number 9, tied is Carlos and Tanya with 6 points each.
Okay.
Yeah, neither of them looked great in Turbo, with the exception of... note that I'm thinking of a Zio episode that Tanya did really good in. Never mind. Moving on. Number 7, tied Justin and Cassie.
Oh.
Justin and Cassie tied.
Okay.
Pretty low.
How many points?
7.
Okay.
If to put them in 7th cumulative place, I'll never be able to say that word right. Please don't at me. At number 6 is Tommy with 8 points. At number 4 tied is Ashley and Adam for 9 points. 3 is Kat with 10 points.
Okay.
Number, do you know who number 2 is?
The Blue Centurion.
With 12 points. I just love that goofy, polite robot man. I guess we both did. And at number 1, TJ with 15 points. That sounds about right.
Yeah, I think so.
So here's some notes. While Rocky qualifies for being in the rankings, he never received any best, worst, or MVPs, so he's not counted for this season because he was in the movie and that's it.
Right.
But we didn't really give him any... Oh, no, he was also in the first 3 episodes, because he had to...
Right, because he was in the hospital or whatever.
No, he was at graduation.
Right.
And I don't think he did anything in Turbo.
Look,
it's been a minute. Divatox got 14 points. I know you all want... I know you all will want Astronomer's points at the end of In Space, so I thought I'd give her a villain to be compared to. Without checking, I think Dimitri had -2, and I never bothered looking at Zordon. I think he's in the negatives as well. Yeah, that tracks. We really took a turn on Dimitri pretty quick.
Yeah.
But Demon Talks with 14 points would put her at number 2 if she were in the rankings.
All right.
And I guarantee she would have with a like a landslide victory had it been Hillary Shepherd the whole time. Like
probably
because Carol.
I have to look it up.
It's Carol.
Carol Burnett.
Carol Burnett. She came out of retirement just to be on Power Rangers, to be a fill-in on Power Rangers. Taylor? No.
No.
Carol Jamesinson. Stumpleburgess.
Carol Hoyt.
Carol Hoyt. Sorry, Carol. You were good, and you really picked up towards the end of your tenure, so I apologize for that.
I think that's the problem, is that she had to figure it out on camera.
Yeah.
If she had been as good at the beginning as she was at the end, it would have been fine. But she had to kind of, like, get into character.
Yeah, she had to rev up.
Yeah, yeah, and she did it on the show.
Right,
so.
Yeah. Then there's a couple stars. So there's 2 stars next to TJ and 1 star next to Phantom Ranger for notes. So for the Phantom Ranger, or for TJ, 1 of TJ's negative points comes from an extra worst, so he could be sitting at 16 if we ignore it.
Okay.
So he did like a bonus worst for something TJ did. I don't know what. I'll tell you what it wasn't about, his sweet, sweet abs. I know you probably didn't write everyone down, but how many of the best were just TJ's abs? I feel like I gotta know. On the other end of the list, Phantom Ranger's double invisible was counted as a plot negative rather than a negative point for him. Otherwise, he would have been at negative 1.
Okay.
So he squuck by. That's a past tense of squeak, right?
Squeaked?
Squoke? Squaken.
Squuck.
How many times have we done this on the podcast?
I don't know.
With this specific word. I guarantee it's more than one. Here's some takeaways. This season had a much smaller spread on points, but I think that was due to the season having to switch over in the Rangers. We really need to stop and consider the density of points per appearance for each Ranger. Blue Centurion blows everyone else out of the water since he got MVP or best points in nearly every appearance, while the older Rangers showed up in 19 episodes and still held their own against their replacements, who had around 28. Under this lens, Justin is the biggest loser, having been in all the episodes and only getting middle-of-the-pack scoring. Had the other Rangers all had full seasons, he would have easily been the second worst behind the Phantom Ranger.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
Now the tie makes sense.
Now it adds up. Yes. In these alternate realities, I would guess Phantom Ranger is still last, followed by Justin, Tanya, Carlos in 5th, Tommy, Cassie in 4th, Adam, Ashley in 3rd, Blue Centurion keeping a 2nd place, and Cat TJ being number 1. So if either Ranger team had a full season,
right,
that would have been, that's his guess for the rankings. Yeah, I feel like probably, yeah. Man, Tanya and Carlos are weirdly comparative, huh?
Yeah.
For what they do. Tommy and Cassie, I would not have guessed that. But I guess I was surprised a lot more by Ashley.
Yeah,
and that's why I kept giving her more points. Same, it kind of carried through to In Space too, because like,
it definitely did.
I think Cassie had a better defined character, so I knew what she was doing, Ashley surprised me more.
I don't feel like Cassie did much. She did not do nearly as much as she should have, especially in Space.
Yeah,
she seemed to kind of just fall off.
Yeah, In Space is a little. I'm excited to see the numbers on In Space.
Yeah.
I started making this data set in the middle of In Space, so now that you are all finished, I need to go back and fill in the earlier episodes. That list will come out towards the beginning of Lost Galaxy, and all subsequent lists will be finished during your breaks in between seasons. I am very happy that you are doing this, Benny. Like, the
yeah.
most, because I love cold, hard data like this, but have no proficiency in compiling it. Thank you so much. And he also says, PS, I know I'm slowly working my way to being a mortal enemy, and it's far away, but can I come on the show during Lightspeed Rescue episode 28 for the introduction of Chad's romantic interest? Yes, you can. Absolutely.
Remind us.
Definitely remind us. Especially when we get to Lost Galaxy or to Lightspeed Rescue, be like, hey, I claim this episode, and we'll be like, yes, you did. Thank you so much for this. It is amazing. Man, these charts are bonkers. It's just like, you know, ups and downs and waves because there's only like, you know, a 4-point total spread that it can have.
Right.
But it looks crazy. And that's it for emails. So let's hit up the Q's and A's. Well, we'll handle the A's.
Let's hit the Q's.
Let's hit the Q's
with some A's.
All right, this one came in only 30 minutes ago from our friend Sky, friend of the show, former guest. The reason I'm doing it first is because this one is on my, this is in response to my tweet saying we need questions. So it's on my account, so I can switch over after this and they'll all be under that one.
Okay.
Is there a villain you'd like to see face off against a different season of Rangers, or a different season's Rangers, like Zed versus SPD or Rancic versus MMPR? I know we're both kind of limited in our scope here.
Right.
Also, this should go unsaid, but I want to hear everyone's answers for all these too.
Yeah.
For any of these that apply, because a lot of our listeners are more knowledgeable about Power Rangers than we are. We're just the two dum-dums with the microphones.
Yeah, these cues are also for you guys to A.
Yes. Let's all A Please. These together.
P's and Q's.
So any thoughts on that?
I mean, I would like to see a Kliptor fight anybody.
I would really like to see Jason in a Kliptor sword fight.
See, I was just, after I said a Kliptor, I thought Jason versus Darkonda would rule.
That would rule, and then Tommy versus a Kliptor.
I would like to see Kimberly square off with Archerina.
Yeah. Oh man, can you imagine those episodes?
That would be cool.
And I know that this is kind of an overlap because it's like MMPR still, but like I want a good Cat versus Scorpina.
Yeah.
I feel like that could be because they're both monstery, like Cat less so obviously, but like you right. know, I feel like that could be really good too. I also kind of want to see the Turbo Rangers race against the Machine Empire.
Like race them?
Yeah, like race them because they would just turn into their own cars like Transformers.
That would rule.
Yes.
I want to see that too.
As far as like in space, or not in space, I think in space is kind of perfect where it is because, you know, Astronema yeah. is very intrinsically tied to Andros. But for Time Force, which is the only other season I'm very familiar with, I feel like Rancic is too perfect a Time Force villain. I don't think he would really work against any others because like, they specifically came back in time to fight him, whereas if he was, like, fighting dinosaur robots or... what the heck is a Thunderzord?
Just, like, a mythical creature.
Mythical creature. I don't feel like it would work the same as with... maybe in space it could work because they're just one Zord. Because in Time Force they have a couple different Zords, but it's not, like, the Zords come together and make it... It's like a Megazord.
They're just Megazords?
Yeah. And it has to get sent back in time whenever they want it, so their little robot friend, who is an owl, has to call him.
Well, that sounds awesome.
It is awesome. Also, the owl is in the Sentai, so I'm glad they brought that over.
Is that Time Ranger?
Yes. Yeah. And it's very apparently very close to source material, and allegedly, maybe apocryphally, the producers did not know that Time Ranger just came from the future. Like, they were prepared, they were, like, really, like, amped for a time travel Power Rangers series.
Okay, so no matter what Sentai they got, it was going to be time travel?
Well, no, they're like, it's called Time Ranger. I bet they time travel, and they didn't look into it.
Oh, okay.
And then they got all the footage, and they're like, they just go to 2001. Or I guess it would have been 2000 in the Sentai.
Okay, I got you.
And they were like, okay, let's just do this whole thing again. And I think it worked out pretty good. All right, first up, from... Public frame number one, Corbin. You can choose... This is going to be real easy for both of us. You can choose only one franchise to watch slash play, and the others are erased from time. Power Rangers, Pokemon, Dungeons & Dragons, Vampires. Well, Vampires is fake, so you can't erase something that doesn't exist.
This is true. Maybe we can erase all the jokes and references, though.
Yeah, that'd be nice if we just, like, get rid of this prank that, frankly, has gone on too long. I'm putting my foot down right here. No more vampires.
I can confirm his foot is down.
Gosh darn it.
So that's it. Good run, guys.
Sorry. The joke was nice, but you tried to say Gary Oldman was in it, and that's really where it all started falling apart. So, Josh, what for you, what is of those four?
Which do I keep?
Yeah.
Pokemon.
Yeah, no, duh. You keep Pokemon. I don't like the idea of any of these being erased from time, particularly. But I do think I need Power Rangers, whereas I just really love the other two. Obviously, right. Vampires doesn't exist, so it's not counted on the list. But I do really need Power Rangers, I think. And, like, to become this person, like, I needed Power Rangers as a stepping stone.
Yeah, I can, like, definitely get that.
Like, to get to hear it was, like, Power Rangers and professional wrestling to Buffy to Jake Mason, the person before you today.
Right.
So Yeah. I don't want Pokemon to go away, though.
No, I mean, I don't need to get into why I picked Pokemon again. I feel like we've answered this question before. Maybe it was on another podcast.
I think it was on the Pokemon World Tour podcast, which you guys should go check out.
But Pokemon is the most important thing that's happened to me, so that's why I would keep it.
Yeah. This is from Janine. If you could have any two henchmen be your amnesic servants who inevitably betray you by taking out your boss's car, who would you choose?
Not Rito.
Definitely not Rito and Goldar. I would say Clippy?
Is this low-key a who's your two favorite henchmen question?
Yeah, I mean, if that's the case, it's Clippy and Nadira with a bullet. Nadira's from Time Force.
Clippy and Archerina.
That's also real good. And they could blow up our boss's car very,
very
nicely.
Easily. Yeah. And vindictively.
Yes.
Because Archerina is just a robot mean girl.
Yeah. Oh, I love Archerina. She should come back. She was going to come back, too, in the Hexagon series. We've talked about it a couple times, but it was Gasket and Archerina were one of the factions.
They should just make that.
Hey, Boom, I know you're not listening, but if you're listening, I'm available to write the Power Rangers Hexagon comic book or just the Power Rangers Generations comic book in general.
Yeah.
It's been a couple years since the 10th anniversary. So hit me up. HeyJakeAndJosh@gmail.com. From everyone's favorite Sentai Senshi, Art Lee, five teenagers, instead of meeting Zordon, met Gaia and get five rings to form Captain Planet. Who gets which ring?
Okay, so this is the original five Rangers, right?
Yes.
Okay, so there is Earth, fire, wind, water, and heart. This is kind of easy.
Yeah.
I think.
Well, okay.
Do you want me to just do mine?
Do yours.
Because I feel like mine's very obvious.
Okay, go.
Earth is Zach.
Uh-huh.
Fire is Jason.
Uh-huh.
Wind is Trini.
Uh-huh.
Water is Billy. And heart is Kimberly.
Okay.
It's even her damn name.
It is. Like- I'm going to flip the script a little bit.
Okay.
Okay. Earth is Jason.
Okay.
Because the Transformers did have that jump on the ground, make an earthquake attack.
That's true.
Everyone from there gets tricky.
Well, let's see. Zach could be water, because the Mastodon did ice moves.
That's true. Elephants do spit water. And then Billy, I think, would make more sense as wind. And Trini is that hot fire, because she does throw that hot fire when she kills people with her feet and fists. And then Kimberly is heart, because she's the heart of the team.
Yeah.
But that's my pick. Also, because Kwame was the leader and Jason is the leader, so like I feel like Earth is like the grounded leader type, and that's very Jason.
Right,
so
right.
Color-wise.
I kind of just mashed them up to colors, but I also feel like the Black Ranger is more of the tank, so it makes sense for Earth.
Yeah,
Zach maybe not necessarily was a tank.
But yeah, historically speaking, the Black Rangers are usually the tanks, and yellows are the murder weapons. Here's the thing about matching colors.
Trini moves swift like the wind.
Yeah. Here's the thing about that. Pretty sure wind was light blue instead of yellow.
That's probably. But there's no electric. None of the planet elements are electricity.
That's true. I did watch a lot of Captain Planet in my time.
I watched it a ton as a kid, and I don't remember anybody's name except for Captain Planet and Captain Pollution.
It's Captain Pollution, who is my favorite villain, because he's this gross, sticky, drippy man.
He's nasty.
And he just, like, I'm pretty sure in several episodes, he just rolls around in filth. But there's Kwame, who is Earth. There's Wheeler, who is Fire. There's Gi, who is Water. There's Linka, who is Air from the Eastern Europe. it was the Soviet Union for the first season. And after that, they got rid of the Soviet Union, and it was Eastern Europe.
Eastern Europe.
And then Mati, who is Heart, whose name is not Mowgli, which I definitely thought it was.
No, that's the Jungle Book kid.
Yeah, I know that. And I could not.
They have the same hair?
They're exactly the same. They look the same. But I couldn't, for the longest time, I could not remember Mati's name and refused to look it up. So I just called him Mowgli. And then I remembered one day.
And there's the blonde girl with the hair.
That's Dr. Blight.
Okay.
And her bad computer, Mal. Just a play on Hal.
I should
also
watch Captain Planet.
But also the Latin for bad.
Yeah, Mal is in bad.
Yeah. There is Loot and Plunder, who wants to deforest everything. There's Hoggish Greedly and Rigger, his tiny boy, his like very skinny, the skull to his bulk, essentially.
Okay, sure.
There is Duke Nukem, swear to God, there's Duke Nukem.
Okay. Just like From the video games, Duke Nukem?
No, his name is Duke Nukem, and he is like the Thing if the Thing was yellow.
Okay.
And a little more svelte.
Right, more like radioactive.
But made of nuclear material.
Less rocks.
And then there was a rat man whose name I cannot remember.
Rat.
Ratto. Rattenstein.
Rhett is the name of the rat monster in Rampage for the GameCube.
Okay. Rat Butler. We'll say his name was Rat Butler.
Okay.
It's a Rhett Butler joke. Someone got it. Some of you got it. This is from Riley Hopkins. You have to put Justin in another Ranger series. Where does he go and who does he replace?
Alien Rangers, any of them.
I'm going to say season one, Billy.
Oh, you're just fishing.
I am.
I'm putting him in Alien Rangers because, like, that's the least collateral damage.
That's true. I would say put him in Alien Rangers and get rid of the yellow one because that dude sucked. I cannot remember his name.
Sestro was the blue one?
There was the blue one, and then there was Delphine, and then there was Orico. Corcus. The Black Ranger?
And then Jim.
Jim the Red Ranger. And Slick Willy the Yellow. And he was out. He just out. And now it's a little boy named Justin who just wants his dad.
Also, if you just put him, if Alien Rangers doesn't count as its own season and you put him in season three, he'll fit right in when the Rangers are babies.
Yeah, well, he'll be the old kid. He's 10 while they're all 7.
Dang.
Yeah. He's the old kid on the block. So this is another one from Corbin. The podcast has to rewatch one of the seasons you already did. Which would be the most painful to do and which would be the most fun?
The most painful
is season two.
Well, I was going to say season three. But no, because all the ninja stuff
is pretty
counted
cool.
In that. And Alien Rangers is only ten episodes.
It would always have a bitter aftertaste in the Alien Rangers, but season two is just kind of a drag.
I feel like season two would probably be the hardest to go back and watch again. But I feel like the flip side of that question is season one.
Season one would obviously be the most fun.
It would be the most fun to go back to because it's the most nostalgic, I think, for both of us. And it's the farthest removed from where we're at.
Yeah, and it's bonkers.
It's also pretty crazy.
Like, it's just kind of bonkers. So that's pretty
There's
nice.
No other Power Rangers season like season one.
No, there really isn't, because there's no, like, they don't make TV like that anymore.
Yeah.
Like, even, like, season two and three are still pretty similar to Power Rangers, but after that, like,
even three is pretty, I mean, it follows the formula and it's still similar, but it's also, like, there's a shift.
Yeah, well, season two was played really safe because they had to, like, cut a lot of stuff for the Zords and the suit matching and all that, but, like, season one was bananas, and they did some weird stuff just to try to make that stuff work, and I will always love them for that. And also, I think about those yellow buckets in the Trash Club episode all the time. I don't know why. So this is from Joe Hunter, formerly guest of the show, friend of the show, Joe Hunter. Has engaging in media analysis changed what you like to do for fun? It's a pretty deep one.
What is it? Can you explain that to me?
So, like, we watch and analyze episodes of Power Rangers twice a week, right?
Yes.
Has it changed how you look at other stuff or how you watch other things?
No, a little bit for how I watch other things. I do remember watching Goosebumps and thinking of points I would want to talk about if we were going to do a podcast about it. That hasn't happened recently. That was a while ago.
Right.
But it does change a little bit how I watch stuff. But not too much. It definitely doesn't change, like, any video game stuff or anything for me.
It doesn't. I have this ability that I gained during film school, which is to turn off all of my film analysis knowledge I learned in film school so I can enjoy things still.
Yeah.
So I'm still able to do that. I do, and I don't know if this is just because I do a lot of editing, and that requires, like, active listening and like a lot of focus. But when I'm done, I don't like watching things I haven't seen before if I can help it. I don't like watching anything that I have to, like, really concentrate on.
I've never liked that.
I mean that
makes me sound like an uncultured swine.
Well,
but I've always enjoyed the like popcorn movies way more than like the deep philosophical ones. Yeah, that's just how I am.
I mean, I still like stuff like that. Like the last movie I watched that was like that was probably Arrival. Because Movies with Mikey was doing an episode on it, so I was like, I want to watch this movie, and I was like engaging with it in a way that I was like, you know, actively watching and not just like being on the couch and looking at it, like, which I don't also don't like playing video games a lot anymore because like I have to do something when I play video games, whereas like if I'm just watching YouTube videos or movies I've already seen, I can just like put it on and just like let it wash over me and not have to do anything about it. That's really the only thing that I would say has changed. That and I don't watch Power Rangers outside of the show, with the exception of Time Force, because I just got the itch.
Yeah. I did start watching Lost Galaxy. I think it was while we were still doing Turbo.
I think it was way earlier.
Maybe it was when we were doing Zio, and I just kind of fell off because I was like, we're going to get here.
Yeah.
And I'd rather the surprises be surprises.
Yeah. Shannon talked up Time Force enough to where I was like, I want to watch this.
And by the time we get to it, it'll be fresh.
I'll know some of the stuff, but like a lot of the little moments I'll get to experience again, and that I'm very excited for. But like I want to watch Jungle Fury, but like finding the time is kind of tricky. Because I kind of want to start hate watching Naruto, and I don't know why. Like, it's got the itch. I also want to catch up on Doctor Who, and I don't want to watch it, but I want to catch up so I can watch the new Doctor.
I mean, you can probably just jump in on the new one.
I'm sure I can, but I kind of just want to see just like how like dumb it gets in some parts. But yeah, that I mean, so very good question.
It hasn't.
Mostly it affected how I just like want to take in media after I am done.
I do catch myself asking, like, why did they do that a lot more often now?
Yeah.
So that's neat that it's kind of, like, making me appreciate the art form of film.
Yeah. That is...
I don't write any stories or anything, but I do have stuff in my head. So even, like, if I'm thinking about something like that, or if I'm thinking, like, maybe I would want to run some kind of RPG game or something like that, I think, like, here's what I want to do. How do I get to that? And why would I do things in the middle?
Yeah.
Like what are the means that lead to this end?
Right. Yeah.
And I think being analytical about something like this has kind of helped flex those muscles a little bit.
Yeah. Oh, for sure. I actively turn that stuff off when I watch movies now. And then I watch Power Rangers, the movie, and it just goes into overdrive and it just gets me interested in film critiquing again, film theory again, which is, I mean, so that's the one good thing that came out of that movie. Next up, this one might be a little tricky for us based on what we just talked about.
Okay.
If you had to cast a Turbo or Zio movie that would follow this PR 2017 unit, this is from Riley Hopkins, by the way, Power Rangers 2017 universe, who would play them?
Okay. I have a joke answer for Turbo.
Okay.
Because I read this one earlier. But that's all I have.
All right, what's your joke answer for Turbo?
Okay. It's the new set. It's not the original. Like, yeah. It's not the Zio Rangers. It's the new Turbo in Space Rangers.
Right.
So, TJ is Donald Faison. Okay.
Donald Faison's like 15 years older than TJ. That's Selwyn Ward ever was.
No, that's okay. Ashley is Jessica Biel.
So, is this in the 90s?
Yeah, now.
Okay.
Except for maybe when I get to Carlos. Cassie would be...
Got nothing.
Lucy Lawless?
Did you mean Lucy Liu?
Yeah, did I say
you
Lawless?
Said Lucy Lawless, who is Xena, who is perfect and gorgeous, but...
No, I mean Xena.
Yeah, Cassie should be Xena.
Okay. Yeah, I meant Xena.
I thought you meant Lucy Liu.
No, okay. Okay, all right. Carlos is Danny Trejo, and then Justin is Haley Joel Osment.
So we're talking a 2001, 2017 Power Rangers.
Yep.
Okay. What a unique list that was.
Yeah.
I
don't have a real answer because I don't know a lot of actors. So a lot of that list is like actors I can name that kind of fit the role of the
right,
person.
Yeah. I also, Donald Faison cannot get the muscles that Selwyn Ward has.
No.
Like, he can try.
I don't think so.
But I don't think he can. Jessica Biel as Ashley is pretty good, though. Yeah, I don't know. I don't watch enough stuff. Like, I'm 10 episodes into a 12-episode series, Riverdale, and I just haven't watched the last two episodes. I just need to get back to it. So, like, all the Riverdale kids in Power Rangers.
Yeah.
Just, like, copy-paste.
Copy-paste them. I don't know who any of them are.
Well,
so, I can't name any, like, teen actors.
The only person that you would know from Riverdale, besides, like, some of the parents, because those are, like, Molly Ringwald is Archie's mom.
Right.
And Luke Perry is his dad, which rules, because Luke Perry is, like, one of my favorite actors of all time. So I'm very psyched about him being on the show. But Cole Sprouse from Sweet Life of Zack and Cody. I don't know if he was Zack or Cody. They lived in a hotel. Was on Disney
I never watched Sweet Life of Zack and Cody.
Josh is killing me over here.
I don't. I think zero teen actors by name.
Well, he's like 25.
I mean, like, could play a teen.
Yeah. But yeah, I would put, let's see, if I'm just going to just take copy paste Riverdale over. So let's see. This is Zio. So Tommy's in it. So that would be Ashley Murray, who plays Josie, because that's who I want to be Tommy in the new movie.
Yeah.
Rocky would be Ross Butler, not our friend Ross Butler.
Although I think he could do a stand-up job at being Rocky.
I think Ross Butler would do a great villain voice.
Oh, for sure.
It's that sweet honey that he has.
He's got that smoothness in his
voice. Ross Butler, the actor, would be Rocky. Cole Sprouse would be Adam? No.
I have no idea who Cole Sprout is. I decided to just be a dad now.
No, okay. Adam would be Camila Mendez, who is Veronica. Kat would be Lee Reinhart. Betty. I don't remember. I don't know. Billy would be Shannon Purser, even though she's not very much older. She played Barb on Stranger Things. I just feel like she would be a good Billy. And then who am I missing? Tanya?
Yeah.
I don't know her name, but the girl who played Val would be a good Tanya. That's all the teens I know, and I didn't even know all of them.
It's really weird that there's a show based on Archie, isn't
and it
there?
Rules.
It's just Archie.
Here's the thing, where this is a much longer episode than I thought it was going to be, so yeah. I'm kind of happy about that. Here's the thing about Riverdale, is that it should be the dumbest piece of garbage ever, but every single person that worked on the show, like top to bottom, like from like the executive producers to the lowliest of PAs to the extras in the background, were like, what if we did our best? What if we just did our very best for this show and it works? It feels like Veronica Mars in the sense that it is like super melodramatic sometimes, but that's the only real comparison it has, and it's high school. That's the only real comparison it has to Veronica Mars, but I just love it. It's so good. I'm going to watch some of that tonight when we're done. I'm going to finish that season tonight. Thanks, Riley, for that question. Here's one from Alan. If you could create a team... This is such an Alan question. If you could create a team of diplomat rangers who were peacebringers / mediators with violence as a last resort, who would be that team?
Does that mean out of rangers?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay. Okay, here we go. Violence is a last resort.
Yes.
Colors notwithstanding.
Yeah, so we're just saying five, and we will assign colors as needed.
Billy and Kat.
Okay.
Justin.
I think Adam.
Adam, as a last resort, but if you get him there, like,
yeah,
he messed
you
up.
You don't want to step in his business, but I know the easy one is that Jason, Trini, and Zach all went to the peace conference, blah, 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 blah. Yeah. They also, Trini would literally kick you before asking why she was kicking you, and Jason was a act first leader.
Yeah,
talking
he was.
About guy. Zach,
back to action was his catchphrase. So.
Zach
might do a pretty good job.
Is that five?
That is five.
So we got Adam, Zach, Kat, Billy, Justin.
Yeah.
Okay, so Red Rangers, Kat. I feel like the leader of that team is Kat of the Power Rangers Peace Corps, Peace Force. Peace Force sounds like an oxymoron.
I kind of want to take Zach out and put TJ in.
That would also be good. Does that change who the Red Ranger is? Yes.
Yes.
I'm fine with that.
Okay.
Okay, so TJ is in.
Yeah.
Zach's out.
So we got TJ, Billy, Kat, Justin.
Adam.
And Adam.
So Adam is the Yellow Ranger because he will do a murder. He doesn't want to. Ideally, he doesn't do the murder, but he will do a murder. I think Billy is still blue. I think Kat is still pink. TJ is still red. Leaves Justin at green.
Green.
I feel like he'd be more of a green than a black.
I think so. Yeah. I mean, they serve the same role usually, but...
There is a different feel to them.
Yeah.
Which is pretty strange in how it works, but also pretty cool. Next up is from Jonathan May. If each ranger passed one piece of wisdom to future rangers, what would it be? I don't think we have to do
every single Power Ranger.
What comes to your head? Like,
well, for TJ, it's if not us, then who?
Yeah. Oh, man. That should be in, like, the Red Ranger field guide.
Yeah.
Like, oh, so you're a Red Ranger now, huh? And then it's, like, a picture of TJ, like, let me tell you about it.
It's like a manual, and he's, like, the Cranky Kong thought bubbles.
Yeah.
But they're all positive, like, go get them's.
I think this is tricky.
Trini's would be, don't forget to gung-ho.
Gung-ho. Always got to do a gung-ho. Which means together? Tommy's would have to be like...
Don't forget about me, Tommy.
Tommy says, I am Tommy.
Try your best to be me. It'll never be good enough, but you gotta try.
Like, paint Tommy in a positive light
for
once in our lives. It'd probably be like, trust your friends.
Yeah.
Because like a lot of times Tommy gets in over his head because he is Tommy Oliver. And I think the only thing that gets him out is trusting his friends.
Yeah. Trust your friends also kind of works for Kat, who definitely trusted that Tommy was not going to kill her.
Oh, boy. Forget Tommy. Tommy's out. Kat's is trust your friends. Or just like just do it. Just like do the thing.
Yeah.
Because like, oh, she's so good. What a good Power Ranger. This is, I don't know if I can think of any others that are specific. This is another one I definitely want to hear everyone's opinions on.
Yeah.
I want to hear your opinions on all of these questions. But this is a real good one for that. This in casting, because everyone is more up to date on who is around.
Who is an actor.
Yeah, who is acting right now than us. This one is from Dad, former guest of the show, friend of the show. What is your in-universe explanation for Dark Spectre and Malagor looking identical?
Okay.
What's a kayfabe on this, brother?
Malagor was summoned by Divatox, right?
Correct, yes.
I think...
Arisen, I guess, from...
I don't think Malagor has, like, a physical form. He just manifests as your strongest fear. Divatox is definitely afraid of Dark Spectre.
That is true. I have an alternate take on that.
Okay.
They're the same. Dark Spectre is the ghost of Malagor.
But then Darkonda killed a ghost?
Yes.
Man, Darkonda ruled.
Darkonda was a bad dude. He's a bad, bad man.
He killed and got eaten by a ghost Malagor.
Yeah. It's like a powerful ghost.
This is true.
Next up is from my little brother, Scoot. And Scooby, I love you. I really do.
What's the question?
This is the most Scoot-ass question I've ever heard. What do you think about the theory I sent you a text about? It's a good theory. I will get to it.
Okay.
But I do have to go to a different program to find the text now. Which is just a very Scoot maneuver. So, let me pull up my text messages.
What a maneuver.
He texted me yesterday. I did not get back to him because I was going to talk about it on this episode. If we didn't get another question about it. If we were light, I was going to answer it on air. I have a theory for the Power Rangers movie. Goldar doesn't look like a Velveeta Megazord. The Megazord shaped itself to look like Goldar. The Zords took the shape of the most powerful creature at the time, the dinosaurs. And with how they made it sound like a Megazord had never been done before, I think the Megazord took the shape of the most powerful creature, which would be Goldar. That explains why it's less the sum of the Zord parts and more just a robot man.
Okay.
Because it doesn't look like you would morph those animals into a Megazord.
Right.
More so it does look like the dark, the light reflection of Goldar.
That's true.
I think that makes sense. The only problem is that like, now the Megazord looks like Goldar.
Yeah, but that's a problem regardless of the theory.
Well, yeah. So. I think that actually works better than this than Goldar being Velveeta Megazord, because like if I like the idea that the Megazord had never been formed before.
Yeah.
So I think that actually
I do like that.
Like that makes it work a lot better.
I'm in.
Yeah.
Good job, Scoot.
Confirmed, buddy. And I think that's all we got for all questions. Right.
There's one here from Artley from 27 minutes ago.
Oh, hot dog.
Replying to you, it looks like.
Okay, I guess I
don't think we answered this. It is, how do you think Terp would have played out if Rocky had stayed on the show?
Ooh, that's a good question. I also have 9 new things, so some of these might be, nope. How do I think Terp would have played out if Rocky stayed on the show? Well, no Justin.
It would have been very different.
Yeah.
That's for sure.
Billy left during Zio. Would Rocky just take on the Billy role?
I don't think so.
I don't like that.
I feel like we would have still had Justin, but he would have come in with the new Rangers and not been there the whole time.
Yeah, probably.
That
I don't know if that would have worked better.
I don't know if it would have worked better, but I feel like that's probably what would have happened.
Yeah. I mean, if we got more, you know, Zio, Jock, Rocky, then I'm in. I'm totally
yeah.
in.
Yeah.
Because I love that dude. Just like kind of snarky. That's all he really needed. It was like one little personality trait because season 2 and 3 Rocky didn't have any.
None at all.
Yeah.
He was just...
He was soap. All right. So thank you guys all for your questions and for the emails. Next week is Devin's Ghost.
I hope we can find it or get the DVD
hopefully.
In.
If not, we'll figure something else out that will be Power Rangers adjacent.
Yeah.
And we will let you know where you can watch it. I mean, there's definitely like a couple Amy Jo Johnson Christmas movies on Netflix. So there's that.
Any port in a storm.
Yeah, hey man. Sometimes you just gotta get in that car wash and drink it. Sometimes you just gotta drink a car wash, Josh.
Only the freshest water, though.
Well, you know, that Angel Grove car wash.
Angel Grove tap, soapy tap water.
That's that pure stuff. That's that uncut stuff.
That's smooth. Well, it's cut with soap.
Yeah, that's true. All right. Thank you guys very much for listening. We'll see you next week. But until then,
may the power protect you.
Let me sip this beer because my mouth is cracking yelling.
See you next time.
All right, bye. All right, see you. Hey, guys. Bye. Bye. Thank you.
Here goes the Jake and Josh.